Good morning and welcome to the regular briefing by the Lieutenant Governor and the Baker-Polito administration to all of the municipal chief executive officers of the Commonwealth regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, the public health emergency. I'm Jeff Beckwith, the executive director of the Massachusetts Municipal Association, and it's the MMA's pleasure to be able to host and serve as the platform for these regular briefings by the administration. Just a note at the beginning of this, that we hope that all of you had a safe and healthy Thanksgiving and that your celebrations were able to bring together as much as possible all of your friends and your loved ones to recognize just how important it is for us to all be together as much as possible during this public health emergency. Also, it's hard to believe, but today is December 1st, and we're beginning yet another series of webinars as we enter another phase in this pandemic with lots of developments and ongoing concerns. The Lieutenant Governor will start off the briefing today. I just want to make a note that based on the urgent demands on her schedule, she will have to leave after about a half an hour. We will then hear from Sean Cronin of DLS for some updates, and he'll be available to answer questions as well. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much for your partnership with Cities and Towns and for being here and every day for the local officials of Massachusetts. The floor is yours.
Well, good morning, everyone. I know it's at 10 o'clock. It's usually in the afternoon that we convene this meeting. I want to thank you all. I want to recognize that the team is with me today, Dr. Madoff, Jana Ferguson, as well as Sean Cronin, who will carry the ball after I depart, getting ready for our media conference midday. First of all, I want to say, as we gathered as a family, small, definitely felt different. I think everybody feels that way. But I was grateful at my dinner convening for all the work that you have done across the communities of our Commonwealth. I just want to thank you. I also want to acknowledge that over the course of November, because of our collective efforts, we saw a flattening of our numbers. You remember early in November, we took some action on November 6th, specifically around a stay-at-home advisory, changing the gathering order, and an early closure. And we obviously measured through our COVID Command Center, the daily positives, as well as the trend over 7 days. And that flattening, I believe, was as a result of this effort of all of us. We also track our hospitalizations and our ICU. Hospital capacity is at about 67%, and ICUs a little over 50%. And we will continue to work very closely with our hospital CEOs. In fact, we just got off a call to get a sense from them in real time what they're experiencing in their hospitals and in their emergency rooms and in their ICUs. So while November, we saw this flattening, December, we'll continue to look at the data. And hopefully over the course of the November Thanksgiving holiday, people did listen to our collective advice and messages so that we can continue to see a good trend going through the end of the month. Travel was also down, trains down 70%, air travel down 60%, vehicle traffic down 5 to 8%. And based upon my anecdotal survey of conversations with people over the weekends, people did focus on small. So thank you. Also, while you were gathering small over the weekend, you probably saw some of the PSAs and messaging. The Get Back Mask campaign has been launched, and it was basically a message around highlighting the things that we love and cherish that feel like so long ago we were experiencing more fully and just kind of assumed that would always be a part of our life. So that campaign is packaged. It is out there to emphasize that everyone has a responsibility and this is a shared responsibility so that we can continue to get through this phase of managing the COVID-19 in our Commonwealth. The materials are all at mass.gov /getback. And maybe Jess from my office can put that up there with the link. The PSA is in multiple languages. I believe it's very well done. And these resources serve as a toolkit for you to be able to use. So my ask today, as we begin December, is to take these materials, get them through your social media channels and your web pages, and just keep emphasizing that everyone has a responsibility to play a part. Next topic I just wanna highlight is really important one also is testing. We saw a lot of people getting tested over the course of that last week, gearing up for the holiday in places that they may have wanted to go. We are also continuing to see the demand for testing as it rolls out of the weekend. One additional tool that we want to give to municipalities, and John has said this before, that your CARES Act funds can be used for setting up testing within your municipality. You might have some questions for him after I finish this briefing. If you want to ask, please reach out to Sean. But there are three ways that testing may be brought to your community. One is to hire a mobile testing provider for end-to-end testing. That's the order, the specimen collection, and the result. Walk-up or drive-through locations of your choosing. Second is order and pay for test kits that residents can self-administer at home. You can authorize a vendor to mail the test kits to your residents, or you can hand out test kits at a central location for residents to take home and mail in or self-administer and return on site. These are both saliva and swab options. And the third way is to organize testing by leveraging municipal employees and enter into an agreement with the lab to process the tests. These options are being made available to you as a municipality. They're available to us as a state, so you can also tap into these resources, use your CARES Act funds, and bring this testing into your community directly. We also package this with the things that you need in order for this to happen, including a standing order that is in the package of documents that Jess just provided the link for in the chat. There's also an FAQ page that answers a lot of those frequently asked questions and provides the roadmap for this resource. This is an additional tool. At the same time, we are planning for winter. So you will also see us review what testing will look like moving into this next phase or next season, if you will. A lot of the mobile test sites the existing test sites have tents and spaces that might not function as well in tough weather. So we are adjusting our testing strategy for winter conditions, as well as that regional approach that we've talked about on this call. So take a look at the testing kit, the three ways you can access more testing to be brought into your community. And we are all available to answer questions, and Sean's gonna figure out with you how you fund that testing if you'd like to bring that on. A recovery, we obviously continue to focus not only on public health and managing through the pandemic, but also the economic health within your communities. I just wanna make sure through our partnerships for recovery that you are well aware of some deadlines coming up in December for various programs to help your local businesses. First of all, Shared Streets, that was a program born out of conversations right here, is in its fourth round. Application deadline is December 4th. So there's more monies there. That's again for those plazas, sidewalks, curbs, streets, parking areas, et cetera, that you might wanna get to. That's December 4th. The local rapid recovery planning, that deadline for those applications is December 18th. This is a great program because it can provide you with additional technical assistance and consulting capacity to figure out what the problem is in your community around your small businesses or downtown, but the consultant can be the tool that you can use to help you solve it. What is the unique issue that you have, and how can we use the consultant to implement effective strategies to stabilize your business districts? These are eligible to cities and towns, but also to non nonprofit entities like business improvement districts, Main Street organizations, or community development corporations. So you could even pass this information on to one of those kinds of groups. Two more programs, the Urban Agenda Program. This year, we're focusing on economic recovery, like workers returning to work, supporting small businesses, coaching or mentorship for daycare providers, development and training support for women, veteran, inner or minority-owned businesses. Those applications are available due December 18th. Maximum grants are up to $100,000. And then the final program is the Cultural Organization Economic Recovery Program, which is accepting applications through December 11th. It's a $10 million initiative. $2 million will be dedicated to supporting small cultural nonprofits. You know who they are in your community. They all need your help. And this could be a great source of funding for them. Let me close on the light that we see at the end of this tunnel. And that is the great news that we're hearing, and it's real, about the vaccine. You've heard Moderna and Pfizer have both applied to the federal government for approval. This is a big and fast process. Once these approvals are made, which is soon by the federal government, they will begin manufacturing. It could be 40 million doses of vaccine by the end of December. The states have been asked to submit their plans to the federal government by this Friday, which will be reviewed very quickly. And the doses will be distributed by on a population basis to the states. And the states will, once their plan is approved, will use their plan for the distribution of those doses beginning to the end of this month as those vaccines reach the states. So that is very good news. As we have all journeyed through this together for many months and, of course, many briefings like this. But I just wanted to close on a positive note. And again, thank you for your diligence, your hard work, your effort, and your partnership, most of all.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. And it is good to have light at the end of the tunnel that's brighter than a pinprick, but it's still a little ways off. And so there's a lot of work to do in the meantime. Just a reminder to everyone that we take questions through the chat function, and please address your questions to panelists and attendees so everyone can see them. We don't use the raised hands function during this briefing. And then, Lieutenant Governor, I know we have you for about 14 more minutes. There are a few questions all on the area of testing. I'll take those together. One question just was expressing concern again about the difficulty of access to testing for people who are asymptomatic or haven't been identified as being a close contact. You've provided, your staff has provided the link in the website for the testing options for municipalities to supplement what the state is doing. So encourage everyone to take a look at and copy those links to get information. But then there are a few questions that are subsidiary to that. One of those is, one, what happens when after December 30th, how would communities be able to address the funding needs if the CARES Act itself is not reauthorized spending is not approved going forward? So is the administration considering ways to help support municipalities as we go into 2021? And then the second part of that was a suggestion by Mayor Cahill, actually, in a question for Sean, can you pre-purchase tests and so on before December 30th? And if you're sort of stockpiling them to use in early 2021, would that still be eligible under the CARES Act as an expenditure of the funds? Those are the two main themes regarding testing.
Two very good points. As I mentioned briefly, we are in the process of updating our testing strategy and planning for the winter season, which we're in. and we'll have more information for you on what that looks like following the end of December, okay? In the meantime, obviously, the tools for you to be able to use to bring some of this testing capacity with your CARES Act funds through December is available to you. And the question about pre-purchasing testing is a really good one. I don't know if Sean has an answer to that, but would love to see that as a possibility for you. Maybe Sean, you can speak to that.
Sure. So ANF and I have had discussions about that, I think, because Mayor Cahill might have raised it. And it's a little bit of a gray area, but if you spend the money for the test, which includes, you know, A to Z, but you don't actually get the results until after December 30th, our current view is that that would be eligible. I know it is kind of a gray area because some of the, you know, you're getting the supply up front, but then the services after the fact. I mean, if you get it all invoiced by December 30th, we seem to think that that would be eligible.
Very good.
Thank you. And Lieutenant Governor, just I did mistakenly pass over one. It's not as much as a question as much, I think, as urging you as you're developing the next phase of testing planning to regarding communities in Central and Western Mass, smaller communities that may not have the infrastructure to establish their own municipal testing programs and so on. There's encouragement to consider having the Commonwealth fund or set up sites or work to facilitate regional approaches in that in those areas where communities just wouldn't have either the staffing or enough critical mass to be able to offer a testing sites of their own.
We agree, and we've heard you on that point during this call, and we appreciate that. That is under consideration as we prepare the next phase of the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. There are two quarantine-related questions. One has to do, and again, it's coming from Western Mass, but essentially smaller communities that are hit if their public works department is hit with, an exposure, and then individuals are quarantining while not having tested positive, but they're quarantining. It's possible during snow emergencies that the entire DPW force could be under quarantine. So and then there's the public safety issue of the quarantine, but then there's the public safety issue of clearing the streets and making them safe for the public. So is the first part of that the question on quarantine has to do with is there any thought about giving enhanced flexibility to public works departments in situations like that, the same way there's enhanced flexibility for EMS workers, for example?
Okay, that's a very good point. We have a call after this or sometime today, winter preparation with all of the various stakeholders. I will raise this issue and we'll figure out what the solution is. Remember this, 2015, when it wouldn't stop snowing for the month of February, that seems easy to manage compared to where we are today. But clearly, we had to take extraordinary efforts to manage through those heavy snowstorms using the Army National Guard and others to deploy their assets to parts of our state heavier hit and impacted with snow. We will make sure if communities are impacted because of COVID, if there's a deployment that's needed to help, we will prepare for that as part of our effort. I will raise that this afternoon. Thank you for that.
Thank you. And then there's another related question regarding school departments and whether or not the quarantine for teachers who are asymptomatic and have not tested positive, whether or not there's flexibility there, if the community is having difficulty being able to find substitute teachers and therefore keep in person or even hybrid teaching in place.
Okay, so it was the question about staffing a municipal school district.
A school superintendent asked a municipal official, town manager, Mark Hawk, to raise a question. The issue is that this district is having a challenge having to quarantine teachers. There aren't enough substitutes and they want to keep kids in school. However, if a couple of teachers are considered close contacts, they may have to go to remote learning because there's no one to fill in for teachers. So are there health and safety protocols that would enable asymptomatic teachers to be able to continue without quarantining?
And that would be for in-person instruction. They're unable to service that education need remotely.
They would have to then switch. They're trying to avoid switching to remote. Correct. As a result of having.
We can take that offline if you have a specific school district mentioned here. Maybe my staff has it. I can't see it on the chat. We will follow up and see what's possible. Obviously, there's collective bargaining and other issues that come to mind, and we'd want to be able to work through that if that is a desire of the community and you've reached consensus around that.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Here's another question. Can the state provide assistance to a local urgent care facility to provide testing more efficiently?
Does one of the public health folks want to address that, or do you want clarity on the question?
That sounds like a very specific question that we could certainly work with an urgent care center to try to figure out testing modalities that are available or work with them. Unless there's a more specific question that you want to ask, I'd be happy to take that offline.
Okay, thank you. That's we'll just make sure to flag that question and forward it to the Lieutenant Governor's office after the call, so that you'd be able to have follow up. Also, encourage the individual. It's Ellen Allen, former president of the MMA, who asked the question to perhaps provide in a direct chat to Jessica Bellavo some more details to take that offline. A question from Mayor Fiorentini regarding the vaccine, making sure that our poor population without cars can get access. So an encouragement that the plan that the state is providing includes consideration of either funding or other logistics that are necessary in order to make sure that low-income residents have appropriate access. That question, maybe perhaps either Jana or Dr. Maddox or Lieutenant Governor. I'm sorry, I was. The one question from Mayor Fiorentini has to do with making sure that there's adequate funding and logistics to make sure that low-income residents have equal access and appropriate access to the
vaccine. Yes, of course. So we are all familiar with the distribution system that we use for instance, the flu vaccine. We have a very robust, proven system for that purpose. Obviously, that whatever enhancements need to be made to that in order to deploy the vaccine rapidly and equitably, we will do. But the system that we have takes that into consideration. And I know that the federal government also has specific contracts with CVS and Walgreens for distribution of vaccine through long-term care. So there will be a system associated with that, our own state system, and then we'll be submitting updates to the feds this Friday. They will be evaluating that over the weekend, and then we will be using our plan for the further distribution. But of course, equity is a component of our plan. Thank you, Mayor.
Excellent. We have a question again coming up on the federal deadlines that are expiring and federal programs that are expiring. There's one local official's question is that the Federal Families First COVID FMLA leave is expiring at the end of 2020. And there's a concern since there are many more months of potential exposure and individuals, residents essentially needing leave. Is there any insight as to whether or not the federal government will be expanding or continuing this for a period of time? There's a suggestion that the governor's office helped to advocate, I think, for the benefits to continue at the federal level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think all of you are aware that the federal government is in a transition. We are not sure what they will do in a lame duck session before the new administration is inaugurated later in January. And during this time, we will continue to do what we can to help people live safely in this Commonwealth. If there are any specific needs in your community that we need to know about, please let us know and we will look to address them. And as always, we advocate for the needs and interests of people of this Commonwealth, and the governor is on regular calls with Washington. In fact, he was just on one yesterday with the vice president to talk about the vaccine and the distribution planning, but also the point that you make about PFML is an important one as well.
Thank you. We've come for you to Lieutenant Governor to the end of the questions with 30 seconds to spare before you need to depart. We'll continue with Sean after this. Do you have any final words? Thank you very much, and we appreciate the advocacy that you and the governor are bringing to our federal partners. There's a lot of frustration to get the federal government to support you and local governments in terms of what we need. But any final words?
Thank you for taking the PSA and keeping the message out there. As much as possible, we want to manage through this. Our hospitals obviously are concerned, and we need your help to keep the message out there, because as people maybe see the news about a vaccine, they might think differently about what they have to do in terms of their own personal well-being and protecting others. So the messaging is really important, and I look forward to our next briefing. And if we need to address anything in between, happy to do so, because there's a lot happening right now. And I want to make sure that all of you are well informed and prepared and can be as proactive as possible to address the needs within your community. Thank you. I get to now turn this over to a very capable team. And back to you, Jeff. Thank you for hosting today.
Well, thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Thank you for your partnership. We wish you well, and we look forward to the next briefing coming up in 2 weeks. You take care.
Thank you.
Now we have Sean Cronin, who's the Senior Deputy Commissioner for the Division of Local Services, and he'll provide a quick update, and we'll see if there's any other questions that come as a result. Sean, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Yeah, so very, very briefly, last week, before Thanksgiving, Executive Office of Administration and Finance sent out a letter to a member of your financial team. It might differ by community, but that spoke to the so-called reconciliation round for coronavirus relief fund monies, which, as you know, is part of the CARES Act. So if you haven't been made aware of that, make sure you check with your finance team and go through that with them. Basically, it outlines some parameters, but the key takeaway is that on or about December 14th, there'll be formal guidance issued about the reconciliation round. And the whole purpose of that reconciliation round, it's really important. It's to, one, reconcile your estimated expenses with the actual. And because you remember, you had to apply for round two in mid or end of October, so you still had 2 months of time that you made some estimates, but I'm not sure everybody expected the spike that's happened, so you might have had more expenses that have incurred. But also to address what I just said, I say this, we have CEIT calls once a week with communities, and I say to them, make sure you spend the money if you have new expenditures that weren't known at the time of round two. So don't think that just because round two was ended that you can't spend if you have authorization left, go spend it. Obviously, it's got to be eligible and it's going to meet the guidelines. But you'll be able to draw down those monies, that reimbursement, as part of this reconciliation round. So if whether it's testing or something else, if your community wants to spend that money, go ahead and do it. And on or about December 14th, there'll be formal guidance about what the reconciliation round is going to look like. So just remember that you can still spend to get CARES Act money in. And then secondly, for those of you who haven't set a tax rate yet, we're down, I want to say about 20-ish percent, the number of tax rates that we normally set by the end of November. I looked at the stats this morning. So understandably, some communities that normally would have submitted the tax rate by now for approval have not. And we totally understand there's a few reasons why that might have happened. But if you haven't, we ask you to, do so as expeditiously as possible, because we already have a December crush here at DLS with both tax rates and balance sheets. But we just ask you to, get it in as soon as you can. And if you have any questions, make sure to reach out to your field rep, or you can reach out to me directly. If there's any questions about what state aid numbers to use and those types of things, you have resources on my team here. So if you can get it in as quickly as possible so we can turn it around for you and you can issue your third quarter tax bills for quarterly communities. So that's it on my end.
Thank you, Sean. I don't see any specific questions coming up on the chat. I just want to share that we've had many offline conversations with you and others in the administration, and just want to share with all of the participating local officials that all of the frustration we have regarding the federal government not extending and clarifying the CARES Act in terms of dollars, but also calendar, is shared by all of our state partners as well. There is one date coming up in the near term, which is December 8th. The federal government needs to pass another continuing resolution, or else there's a government shutdown. There's not much focus on that, but that means that the Congress does need to send, and the president does need to sign, some legislation regarding federal finances. There's still an outside possibility that some greater calendar length of time regarding spending CARES Act funds could be added to that, although that increasingly looks like an outside possibility. But obviously, if that happens within the next week, we'll provide as much information as possible to everyone, but let's not get our hopes up for that. That's just one option. We have to go with the plan that's in place right now. So Sean, thank you very much. Jana and Dr. Madoff, I'm gonna use the titles appropriately, Assistant Commissioner Ferguson. We welcome and thank you for being on the call. We don't see any additional questions. So at this time, we'll just plan on having the next briefing in 2 weeks. We'll get the notice out to all of the participants here. Of course, the audio recording of this briefing will be posted on the MMA website, along with a summary article. The couple of issues that have been identified to be addressed offline, I notice in a chat that's available to the panelists that the contacts information has been made. So all of the people who are wondering whether or not that follow-up is going to be taking place, it absolutely is and is in motion. So with a thank you to Lieutenant Governor and to the administration and to all of you, we wish you a safe and happy rest of the week and wish you the best of luck as you go forward and essentially save lives in your communities. Thank you for your great work. We thank you for being with us this morning. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye.